Welcome back to DC Cinematic Minute, the daily podcast in which we analyze Zack Snyder's Justice League by each individual minute. My name is Mark. You can find me on all social media at Mark Meadows.
And my name is Nathan. You can find me on all social media at No Clutch Nate.
And today we are talking about minute 200 of part 6, Something Darker. It's going to start with Wonder Woman and Steppenwolf fighting each other. And then the minute's going to end with the Flash running as he tries to build that charge to disrupt the Mother Box. So yeah, in this minute, this new trinity of Wonder Woman, Aquaman, and Cyborg, they start fighting with Steppenwolf so that Cyborg can make contact with the Mother Box. And then, of course, you have Flash building the charge. So he is the clock that is ticking in this moment. But yeah, Nathan, we're here. 200 minutes into this movie.
It's a milestone, isn't it?
We've never talked for more than 200 episodes on a movie before. You know, Dawn of Justice was 183, if I remember correctly, and Man of Steel was 143. Suicide Squad was like 137 or something like that. You know, we're here at 200.
This is the longest we've been doing this. This is the oldest. What does he say?
I take one more step, it'll be the farthest I've ever been.
That's probably better. That's better. I was going to try to keep it with a, oh my gosh, I'm older than my father ever was or something like that. You know?
Yeah. There you go. That's more in universe.
Yeah.
More tangible. More on brand. Yeah. This is our 200th episode of Zack Snyder's Justice League. I can't even tell you how many episodes we've done for DC Cinematic Minute in entirety, but we're 200 minutes in, so we're what, 3 hours and 20 minutes into the movie. It's quite impressive. We've been talking about it for a very long time, and we're here at the final boss fight for Steppenwolf. We'll have, you know, Wonder Woman and Steppenwolf, they'll start the fight by charging at each other, and they do this amazing choreograph. I really like just the tempo of this attack, this kind of like formal trading of blows, where it's like, you're going to hit the shield and then I'm going to get to do my attack. That's just the respect, the honor of fighting each other. But I've wondered, like, is this real choreograph? Like, these are actual people fighting? And like, if so, who's playing the role of Steppenwolf? Is it a guy on a big green square who gets to like hit, and then the person who's portraying Wonder Woman is the one who gets to like deflect, pivot, and strike, you know?
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. I want to say yes in that idea. I think it is just giant square platform, you know, a giant green square platform or something, and person just like going, okay, you know, with another green pole and just going like, foam, okay, contact.
The Nerf axe.
Yeah, just contact, contact, contact. And you guys are doing all of the movement and action. Because Wonder Woman, you were right with it's very warrioristic, honorable kind of fighting with just attack and parry. And it's really excellent. The footwork on Wonder Woman is really just excellent. Honestly, it's like it seems so correct, and the way that she uses Steppenwolf's swings and to turn herself and get momentum of her own is just very on brand. Use your opponent's motion against them, use their energy against them, kind of deal. I don't know, it's excellent. It's really cool to see, like, you know, it turns into like he's a giant tank now. So now you have multiple points that are attacking the tank, but the tank is also slower and has only one two-handed weapon. So, you
and
know,
like one line of sight too, you know?
Yeah.
Like if we were to go back to like Heroclix, it's like he can only attack whoever he's looking at. His line of sight would be like that character. What I like,
well, that's the thing, because there was engagement rules in Heroclix, so I don't know how those broke. I don't remember. I think other people were able to break engagements, or one of your break was counted as one of your moves, right? You could either attack or move,
or yeah, you could break. Or you could like,
but
force
if you break,
it.
I don't think you could move away. It was just like, okay, break engagement, and then I'm kind of just stuck here. And then you can either activate your
other
engagement.
Oh, you had to roll to break engagement. Yeah.
Yeah.
You had to roll, and if you could roll out of engagement, then you could then move.
Yeah.
Because
God, I loved that game so much.
There's two games that, you know, like, and this is just me personally, and maybe I don't know, maybe it's too much, maybe people are just tired of hearing me talk about it, but like, it, you know, it's kind of our podcast, and like, we got to put our own personal touch, and the reason that we connect to these movies so well. But like, a lot of times, like HeroClix and video games, and like, even yesterday talking about Mortal Kombat, like, there are things in Injustice, there are things that resonate and have influenced, you know, movies today. And like, we look back and HeroClix is big, Arkham City is big, you know, Injustice was big, and they've helped influence like the movies that we make today. And I know Zack Snyder, you know, just sees stuff like that and like gets inspired about it, you know? And I always wonder if one day, like, we'll see something, another work from Zack Snyder, and like, maybe he's taken some influence from Fortnite, now that it's been known he had like a little Fortnite phase on him. So it's like, I wonder if he'll take anything from that too. One of the things I like here is he's
100% going to make a battle royale story. Like, that's gotta be known. Look at his track record.
He'll definitely do something about like looting and shooting. Like, okay, we're going to, you know, we have no weapons, but we'll go loot something. And then we have to get to here because there's like a storm coming. And so, you know, he'll steal that like Fortnite stress of like, what is it that like makes you feel so in the trenches when you play a battle royale, right?
Yeah.
So maybe he'll do something like that. But
yeah. It's like he could write a good Mad Max movie. Still give it to, you know,
the internet never Rodriguez. Wants to hear you say that Zack Snyder could make a Mad Max movie.
I think he could write a good Mad Max story. But that is separate from the look, because everybody's going to be like, it'll be all too gray and everything's going to be so dark. It's like, that's not what I'm talking about. His story writing process of a hero's journey, especially when you're adding in things like what you said, like your loot and shooter, like collect and get to point B, that kind of thing. It's like, yeah, that's Mad Max.
Yeah. I mean, I'm surprised Zack Snyder has never been talked to about. He was talked to about Gears of War. And I think we talked about that a long time ago, saying like that could be a good franchise for him.
Man of Steel because of the Kryptonian suits.
Yeah. And then I think recently there was news about like he could become affiliated with Gears of War if they decide to go through with a motion picture. But Mortal Kombat as well. I'm almost like that could have been your R-rated, you know, and it's similar to the DC. It's like you could just go do the Mortal Kombat franchise, but it's already underway. And I don't know.
I don't know.
He would want the whole thing.
Yeah. And then that also brings in like fantasy and, you know, different universes, interdimensional stuff into it, rather than it just being, you know, what Mortal Kombat wants, at least what WB wants Mortal Kombat to do, apparently, is like kind of stick to its roots, I guess.
Just
fighting tournament, but also add in supernatural elements into that. But it's still, at the end of the day, it's a fighting tournament. We don't need to get into like time travel and
we don't want to talk about the realms.
Well, wait, hang on. That is Mortal Kombat though. Time travel and deities and all this stuff. So
yeah, we want to get into like the lore of it, and like that's what people really start to get into. But yeah, the new Mortal Kombat movie is always is pretty much just like, hey, we're fighting under very little substance, but we also have magical powers now. It's like, oh, I think there's a little bit more to that, but okay.
Yeah, right? It's like, wait, hang on. There is more to that. It's in the game. Did you only play the demo? Did you only play the arcade version of the game?
Where it was just the arcade version. They said, I'm not reading any of this text.
Exactly.
We'll just go off.
It's like, no way. I only got 6 quarters in my pocket. I can only get these many fights.
That's the budget. The $200 million budget for Mortal Kombat movie, only six quarters.
That's an amazing idea. Like, try to go, like, just get someone to tackle, like, a good arcade, like, closet game or whatever, and just be like, okay, write an original story from this, but imagine your only knowledge of it is if you had six quarters in your pocket that you could only play on Saturday afternoon. And they're like, okay, like, so you want me to do a whole Donkey Kong from just one afternoon at the arcade in the 80s? Like, okay. And that's a gamble. I want to see like that Chopped movie.
But for filmmaking.
Right? That's a good premise, Nate. Write that down.
That's quite the challenge there. To talk about HeroClix, where I was going with this was that
I'm so sorry.
No, but it's totally fine. It's Friday, and the Trinity here is attacking Steppenwolf on all sides, and what you'll see is that the goal is to get Cyborg to the Mother Box. But with Wonder Woman and Aquaman fighting Steppenwolf, he's only got the one line of sight, so he's engaged with Wonder Woman. And you'll see Cyborg, he'll start to kind of, you know, bump his way through him and then start firing at him with range. And Steppenwolf can't do it. You see him, he's out of range. He's kind of aggravated by Cyborg, even though it's not affecting him, like the blaster bolts aren't affecting him. It's annoying, but he looks at him and he snarls and he's like, I can't do anything about this. This is really annoying. And then Aquaman will hit him from behind because now he's realizing that he's really outflanked, outmaneuvered in this position on this, you know, very linear walkway. He can only attack one opponent at a time. And so when Aquaman strikes him, then he says, I will focus on you because I can eliminate you, but I And Cyborg's not hurting me, but I can't do anything with him behind me. I'm outranged by this ranged attacker, which when we look at HeroClix, it's like that would be that scenario where it's like you're in engagement with Aquaman and Wonder Woman, and Cyborg's hitting you too, and you don't have the range clicks to attack him back in any other way. You would have to break engagement and then go after him.
Yeah.
That's the HeroClix mentality. The other thing that I really like in this moment, we talked in the beginning here, Wonder Woman doing the little shield parry and attack cadence here. So it's like one and two. So she'll hit the shield, spin, strike with the sword. We'll see that twice in this minute. But in the very first time that they do it, you'll see the shield parry, the sword swipe, and then she does a really smart move, which is backstepping. So she'll backdash backwards to space out Steppenwolf because she struck with the sword and it didn't hurt him. So instead of leaving yourself open, you now take the step to back out of the situation. And then Aquaman jumps in and attacks him.
Yeah.
Which is a great way to allow yourself to recover before you come back in to strike again. So this is a really smart thing. This is actually what the gameplay is like in Mortal Kombat 1, which has cameo fighters.
And so I was going to say Street Fighter and Budokai. Like, you could do these special moves where you call in your guys waiting in the wings.
Marvel versus Capcom.
Absolutely.
Dragon Ball Fighters. You have those other other characters that can jump in to basically make your unsafe attacks safe. And so, of course, I've been really playing Mortal Kombat 1, and with the cameo fighters, this would be Aquaman would be a cameo fighter, and you know, Wonder Woman would be attacking. It's unsafe, but I can make it safe by stepping out of the way and allowing Aquaman to come in for just a moment to allow myself a breather, and then I come back in and I attack again. And so you see her coming back in, and you have this kind of really cool moment here. So I don't know if she jumps in at this point here, or she does the, she'll attack the leg again, I think several times. Right? So, Aquaman will come in. She'll do, So she does actually like three times in this minute then. So Aquaman came in, and then she'll come back in again to do the same exact parry. Shield parry, swipe again at the other leg.
Yeah.
And it still doesn't work. So she's really trying to cut through that armor there. But I do like that.
Yeah, she's definitely trying to, they're trying to stagger him. And they're all doing individual attacks.
Create an opening here.
Yeah, Aquaman gets laid out, so he's definitely just tank.
He's on cooldown now.
He's not, it's like, but it's such a bad, it's not the best, it's like a Ganondorf kind of slowness to him, because he just is heavy attack, and his, like, hitbox is so small that if you don't hit, he's completely useless, you know? Like, he doesn't hit Steppenwolf. Yeah, we're talking about Aquaman. He doesn't hit Steppenwolf, like, at all. In this. Like, he goes in for the cameo appearance, misses, gets kicked back, comes back after Cyborg is successful in staggering him. So Cyborg does create the opening. But then Aquaman comes back and is only able to do one parry. And then he goes in for another attack, and then he dodges and he misses. So he's like the very, at least for right now at this type of combat,
he's the heavy hitter.
You don't want the heavy tank in here. Like, stay back at the wall. You know, if you're Bastion, you're supposed to be way back there using your ranged attack. You know, you're not supposed to be coming in for your close fights right now. Like, you got to stay back. It's not close fight, like, charge up hits right now. So anyway, he just gets,
you're definitely
flattened.
Right, because when Cyborg is shooting Steppenwolf, then Aquaman's like, oh, I have an opportunity to hit him, and I struck, and like, I have no time to recover,
right?
Like, I have barely time to, like, kind of deflect that axe coming in, which saves my life, but I couldn't do anything more. Now Steppenwolf is looking at me, and it takes Wonder Woman here. This is really cool. So for a lot of people, they'll see this and they'll think, like, okay, we have another slow motion shot. Really don't need this right now. We also have the ethereal lamentation music of the Amazons.
Yeah.
But I've always wondered, like, what is this? Why is this moment so important that we have to go slow-mo and have the music and all that?
That's what I was thinking, too. And I'm erring on the side of, we don't need this shot right here. But, like, I think I should be wrong, because continue with what you were going to say. Why is this scene here? What is this supposed to tell?
It is extra. It is very extra. And I think if anything, it's supposed to remind us that, like, she's like this ethereal warrior, and not just another warrior. You know, what makes them different? You know, what makes Superman and Batman and Wonder Woman different is that, like, Wonder Woman is this magic based warrior, and so we have to remember that she's, like, got all this history as a fighter, and so that they do this music here. But I think it's a strategic victory as well, because what you see here is, like, there has to be success in this moment. If you're gonna slow it down and have this moment, she had to succeed somehow. And so you see it here, where she actually gets a strategic advantage in this moment by doing this. And it's almost like a checkmate scenario that Steppenwolf is like, oh, you actually got,
you exposed
behind
my
me.
Weakness. Yeah.
Yes. So we have this moment here. It's a check scenario. He'll be like, okay, she's going to end up behind me. I have to deal with her. But then Aquaman, who's the heavy hitter that you said, now remember that trident move that he just did. So she gets behind him. He turns around because he's like, I don't want to get killed by the Amazon. And then Aquaman's going to, like, I'm going to stab you with this trident.
Mm-hmm.
And which is very important for the end of this movie. And he says, actually, I don't want to get stabbed by the trident, because otherwise I will die. So let me focus on Aquaman. And then boom, checkmate. I struck first blow. Wonder Woman jumps up, slices him on the shoulder. That's 1 point for Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
So this moment here, I've always wondered, like, why is this necessary?
Her making contact with the axe would have been 1 point as well. So I think I want to piggyback to your strategy talk that you said. Wonder Woman's initial hits were low, so this was her moment to try to go high. And then she goes high after that, because her other successful shot is on the shoulder. So she ends up switching her stance and everything So like in combat warrior wise, it's very in pace with it, and it catches Steppenwolf off his guard because he's still expecting everybody to be going low because they are below him. And yeah, you're right. It adds to her ethereal warrior princess, magic warrior princess, that she can on her own get above Steppenwolf. And that's where, you know, he is obviously weaker at fighting because he's the big guy. He's used to fighting everything below eye level or below waist level or whatever. So, you know, maybe he's just not always expecting for someone to go for the head, you know?
Yeah.
And I also think it's where the win comes from. I think it's also Wonder Woman.
She's definitely Wonder Woman, right?
Yeah, now. It's 100%. I think it's definitely a win for Wonder Woman because I feel like what she's doing with this higher slow motion sword hit is to see if it's like testing. She's like testing the axe, or at least like his proficiency with the axe. Because if she can do an inverted over the head strike, and he doesn't have like a full parry for that, he can really just block because his axe is in that position. Then if his axe is out of position, it's a clean shot to the head. So like that's where like the strategy comes from.
Will you protect your neck?
yeah, pretty much. And you know, I don't know if other people or other audience members pay attention to fighting or how things fight, and if it is, or the choreography, and if it does like make sense, like how that just is. Like, yeah, it's not just people hitting and throwing punches randomly at will. There's a strategy to this fight. We get the stagger, we get the distraction, we get the change in stance, and we get the weakness exploited. So you're sizing up your enemy throughout all of these individual attacks.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's like, is that too smart? I'm realizing it now because I'm doing it minute by minute, and I'm taking the time to spend 30 minute plus on just 60 seconds to realize, okay, what is this character actually doing? Can we go frame by frame? Can I see if the stance is correct? That kind of deal, you know?
Yeah.
I find myself, and since the whole buzz on the Netflix Last Airbender stuff, I'm going back and popping on the cartoon and stuff, and I find myself always like diverting my attention to what is happening on the screen, especially in their fighting parts, because I always remember seeing that little behind the scenes where the animators were like, oh yeah, no, we studied like actual martial artists, like masters at their craft to actually be able to draw this out. So everything that you're seeing is correct. Every single fight sequence is a real sparring match. Like it's all real. So like that's where I find myself going back to being like, okay, so yeah, this is all real. Now I'm doing this minute by minute, trying to be like, okay, whoever was making the fight choreography obviously had to go start to finish. What makes it real? It's not just character in the distance fighting an alien, other character in the other distance coming in and fighting the alien, and you know, and then the alien finally gets pissed off and goes, enough, and you know, does a big old energy blast and everybody gets knocked back.
And it was a really good strategy as well to be like, well, how do we get Cyborg to the mother box? And it was like, well, he's gonna take advantage and like shoulder through and then get to it, and then like they'll be distracted because like now that he's flanked, he has to worry about Wonder Woman and Aquaman, and he cannot worry about Cyborg until he's dealt with them.
Right. Close the gap.
And so like once he does kind of deal with them, he'll start making his way back to Cyborg, because he knew like that's where he has to get to. He has to stop Cyborg. But I wonder if Wonder Woman
Pride comes before the fall, Mark.
Yeah, there you go. I wonder if Wonder Woman hitting the Electro Axe with her sword is like the first time that's even happened.
No, because she's parrying attacks in the beginning, especially her first two shots. She parries the axe. At least, yeah, with the sword,
it does block. She does hit this. Okay, I thought she hit his leg.
That's why I was like, well, it's not like the first time she ever hit the axe to see if her, her God Killer sword or whatever sword we're going to call it, like, matches up. So it's more first... so of what?
Yeah. Go finish your thought.
I was going to say it's just more so of her testing Steppenwolf's proficiency with that axe. Also, yeah. I don't know if we've ever mentioned this, but Steppenwolf with the giant axe is very much like, you know, the green giant, green axe. Green Knight. It's got the big axe and fights just like it too. So there is that Arthurian legend tie-in as well.
200 minutes in. So it actually shows in this minute then that, you know, her first strike, she hits the axe. She wasn't able to hit one of the legs. And then the second time she does hit the leg and do no damage. So right. Then the third time she comes in and with the flank and with Aquaman, then she's able to strike his shoulder and actually do some damage. So it actually shows a progression of her, like, first attempt, nope. Second attempt, you hit, but nothing. And then third time's a charm kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, that's why I said she went low for the first blows, realized it wasn't effective. Change of strategy. Got to go high.
Yeah, very well done. Very, very well done on us to do our part here and analyze
To analyze the fight. So it's not just people, you know, CGI fighting giant monster.
Yeah. And sometimes it's way too much choreography. And I see it a lot now in the Marvel TV show specifically, where there's just way too much choreography that, like, amounts to nothing.
They're doing too many flips and shit, yeah.
Yeah, too many flips and, like, I don't know, arm twists and stuff like that. And it's like, what are we doing? I know it's a choreography, but it looks way too much like dancing and we're not actually getting anything done. But yeah, so this, we'll cut over now. They're doing their thing. Wonder Woman has struck Steppenwolf, so we'll cut over now to the Flash, who's building that charge. And this is a really cool moment when you see it on the bigger scale, because there's this electric blue tunnel that the Flash is running in, and then it, like, zips, and then as it starts to zoom out, you see that he's actually running across this thing very fast.
Yeah, like, you see, like, the multiple version. Like, he's like, Flash, 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 Flash. It's like, there he is. Yeah.
Yeah, this kind of after image of himself more and more and more just, like, zipping across. And so, you know, regardless of what your preferences are for speedsters, I think in this moment when we talk about, like, building a charge and seeing, like, an actual battery being made, I think this works very well, because it's like, we're not here to show the Flash running very iconically. We're just here to show that he's building something, like, he's right, like, charging up to do something. And so I think this is a very, very well done moment to, like, show what the Flash is working on. And being a Justice League member, instead of, like, being the Flash that we know as, like, some time-altering, you know, God Lord, you know, like, the Speed Force kind of Flash. Like, we just need the Flash, as in the Justice League version of the Flash, to be doing something that helps the team. And, like, this is one of the perfect things to come up with. It's just, like, we need you to build a battery.
Yeah.
Or be a battery.
It's also much like, okay, you need to actually play the part of the god that you're embodying. Like, you need to go be Mercury now. Like, your Mercury role. And this is exactly what he is. He's kind of, he's not in the direct battle. He's being the support character. And he's sort of, like, in his own dimension. Like, he's in his own element right now. Not bothered, at least not yet, bothered by the outside war that's happening. He's still, like, you know, he's in his realm. He's doing his Mercury thing. It's very gods amongst men in this moment here. I see the Flash. I'm digging it. I'm digging it a lot. And also very reminiscent of Super Collider? Superconductor? Super Collider? Whatever the hell that thing's called. The circle. And you spin around and you throw things and then people made a bomb out of it.
Oh.
It's in the other Flash. It's in the CW Flash. It's, you know, how he got the powers or whatever the hell. Maybe not how he got the powers. That's how everybody else got powers.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about. I just
Super Collider. Electron Collider. whatever the hell it's called, particle collider, particle accelerator. That's it.
Particle accelerator. I was gonna say accelerotron or something like that, and I was like, that's, I don't want to say, I don't want to say the wrong thing.
That's Transformers.
Yeah, yeah, man, too many franchises to juggle in my brain.
It's just, you know, we're making up the words as we go, and then people are like, you know what, that was actually a really
in my
good,
mind
that
I was
word,
like accelerotron,
that
I'm
fake
like,
word
I
works now for a real thing. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure it's a carnival ride or something.
The accelerotron, that's a good carnival,
I mean, particle
ride.
Accelerator could be like a carnival ride. It'd be like, which Six Flags theme park is that at?
Yeah.
Totally. That's what they should do, right? You know, the Six Flags, do they still have DC characters in their licensing? They should make
Six Flags and Cedar Point, maybe.
They should make a Flash speedster, like mission space, a thing that like just spins you around really fast.
What? Why would you want that? Wouldn't you rather have it a Flash speed be like the Cheetah Run at Busch Gardens, and it's like about speed and fast, and or the Raptor Race? It's not called Raptor Race. Raptor
Velocicoaster. Velocicoaster and Cheetah Hunt. Yeah.
Wonder how
magnetic
long they took
roller coasters.
I wonder what the workshop process behind Velocicoaster was, because Raptor Run's
pretty damn
cool.
Someone just said the word and they were like, oh, "Okay, I guess we're making
but
that."
That's why I'm saying, like, why didn't you go for Raptor Run? Raptor Run sounds great. You're running with the raptors.
Do go for Raptor Run.
Raptor Ride. That's two on the nose.
Raptor Ride. Now we're not even trying.
You're right. Yeah, right. You're riding with the raptors. That's what I would call. This is what I contribute to ad agencies. Call me if you need help.
You set the bar low so that they get hit and feel successful. Yeah.
I'm a good luck Chuck kind of guy, huh?
Yeah. So, and then we'll come back. One final moment here for this minute. Cyborg has reached the mother box. He's reached the Holy Grail. He's reaching for it. And you know, Steppenwolf starts to kind of... get his you know, he starts to have some small victories. We talked about Aquaman being kind of like the heavy hitter. He's slower than the rest, so he'll actually be bested by Steppenwolf, and then he'll take that moment to grab Aquaman and throw him out of the combat. So then that leaves Wonder Woman behind him and Cyborg in front of him, and so Cyborg is distracted with the mother box. He says, I will go after Cyborg before Wonder Woman can, you know, hurt me. And actually, he'll swat Wonder Woman away from him and then make his way towards Cyborg. And Cyborg is just in complete awe of this mother box. He's finally connected to it.
Yeah, I mean, it's the Grail, dude. He's shuddering at the thought.
The mother box has a really cool 80s look to it. With the orange and the blues and the, you know, purples, it looks like a little 80s arcade type. I don't know. It has like this kind of synth wave look to it that I really like.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
I think this always goes back to like Zack Snyder, like just really liking this 80s age of comic book stuff. And then like you see this here and it looks all like electronic and cube like and pixelated and, yeah, it just ends up looking really cool. And Cyborg, he's touched the mother box, but then he feels like this kind of like electrical discharge from it. So he knows he needs that charge from Barry Allen to be able to connect to it. But he's kind of drawn to it in a sense. And while he's distracted and looking at it, Steppenwolf will, you know, start making his way towards him.
Right, 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 right. I mean, cool. If you think about it, he hasn't been, you know, he didn't want to touch the mother box at all. Like it was in a case. Mm. And the last time he touched one mother box, they were putting it in the scout ship. So,
yeah, now there's anyway, three of them.
He's fearful of that very powerful artifact. So with good reason.
Yeah. All right, we're going to wrap up for today. If you've enjoyed today's show, please consider leaving a 5-star review. It really does help the show and helps new listeners discover our show as well. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can chat with us on Twitter at DCEUMinute. And if you'd like to hear more bonus content, we also have a Patreon for just $3 with tons of other podcasts to listen to. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you on the next one. here on DC Cinematic Minute.